From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. Protecting dollars spent in the classroom should be our first priority. That, according to ISD 166 school board member Terry Collins. He further said that teacher reductions, class size increases, and a narrower curriculum may be inevitable, but should be done as a last resort. The board continues to meet in an attempt to deal with what could easily be a recurring deficit and a decreased enrollment toward 400 students. Collins urged, and the board largely agreed, their goal should be reductions in the administration and support staff budget to $400,000 before they look at teachers and curriculum. That would mean reductions of about $150,000 to admin. Collins spoke to the board by speakerphone.
My thinking is we need to make major change in administrative expenses, because it's clear we're going to have to make changes in expenses throughout the organization. And I think to do that first in a meaningful and visible way is responsible. If we're asking everybody to make changes and cuts as we go along, and I think it lets us protect classrooms from cuts as much as it's possible to do so.
At Monday's work session, the board had 7 cost-saving proposals before them and in the end reduced the number to 5. The 2 options that come closest to meeting a goal of $150,000 in savings would either reduce the superintendent position to half-time, adding additional duties to the principal, or merging the superintendent and principal positions into one. In addition, changes in responsibility would be made in the counselor and dean positions, as well as some office and support staff roles. The board will meet again on Monday, April 18th, for a work session to attempt narrowing the field of options before further discussing reductions at their April 19th regular board meeting.
The Cook County Grand Marais Joint Economic Development Authority, or EDA, voted on Tuesday to offer the new general manager's job at Superior National Golf Course to former County Commissioner Bob Fenwick at a salary of $30,000 a year. More than 30 people crowded into Grand Marais City Hall for the vote. Many were upset that another applicant, Cook County native Todd Jarvis, was being passed over for the job.
April 12, 2011, Cook County Grand Marais Joint Economic Development Authority meeting to order at 3 p.m.
7 people spoke during an extended public comment period before the start of the meeting. EDA Board Chair Mike Litvin responded to the criticisms with an explanation of how the board had arrived at its decision.
I just want to back up a little bit. When we had our monthly meeting back in October 10th, we set up an independent golf course committee made up of volunteers and EDA members to basically put in a lot of hours looking at the golf course, looking at where we've been, trying to come up with some structure and some ideas and plans for the future. And this meeting today is kind of the fruition, if you will, of their initial effort.
In January, the newly created golf course committee recommended that the EDA hire a general manager in time for the upcoming summer season. The board agreed and set the process in motion. Advertisements were placed in the local paper for 2 weeks. There were 5 applicants for the job. 3 were selected for final interviews: Bob Fenwick, Todd Jarvis, and Heath Ekstrom. The golf course committee conducted the interviews and recommended to the EDA board that they offer the job to Fenwick. Jim King chairs the golf course committee.
We've heard some comments about hiring another individual. Let me go back and say, you know, we interviewed 3 individuals. 2 of the individuals have graduated from golf school. They're registered PGA pros, Heath Ekstrom and Todd Gervais. We were not looking for another golf pro. We were looking for a business person, a manager. And we believe that's what we've got.
Superior National, by all accounts, is in desperate need of funds to upgrade aging equipment and infrastructure and to increase marketing efforts. Requests to the county board for 1% sales tax monies or other county funds have so far been rejected. At the urging of the golf course committee, the EDA board decided to proceed with hiring a general manager instead of waiting for the consultant's report.
The state's largest business group filed suit against the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency in December last year, raising the heat in an increasingly contentious fight over mining in northern Minnesota and what's good for wild rice. Now, Representative David Dill from District 6A has been appointed to the Omnibus Environment, Energy, and Natural Resources Finance Bill Conference Committee to study House File 1010. One measure included in that bill is a provision that would increase the amount of sulfate allowed in wild rice waters. The current standard is 10 milligrams per liter. The new standard would elevate that to 50 milligrams per liter. Dill said the current standard is not sustained by the fact.
Really, it is a statewide issue because our background water, just in water that you pump out of the ground, as an example, up in Buell, some of the finest water allegedly on Earth, has a background much, much higher than the standard. And so the drinking water standard is 250 milligrams per liter as a maximum. Of course, all of our background water is well below that, but the background water is well above what is in standard current rule for discharging into receiving waters that have wild rice.
High concentrations of sulfates are toxic to wild rice, and the debate about how much is too much has become a flashpoint in the broader environmental conflict over the proposed expansion of mining on the Iron Range.
So it's a big problem for industry. It doesn't have anything to do really with mining specifically. It has to do with paper mills, and it has to do with ethanol plants, and it has to do with mining. It has to do with wastewater treatment systems and anything else that would generate a discharge, particularly that is permitted into waters that have wild rice in them.
Both environmental groups and Minnesota Indian tribes who rely on wild rice for food and cultural traditions say the scientific basis for the rule is sound. It should remain where it is until research proves otherwise. Paula Maccabee is an attorney for Water Legacy, one of the environmental groups that has so far successfully fought to keep the standard where it is.
Well, I think it's really important how significant wild rice is to tribal communities. But there is also a very important way in which wild rice is unique to Minnesota's ecosystem. It is a very important source of food for ducks, so it's important for hunters. It is important to keep the water clean and prevent algae blooms. So if you're an angler or if you enjoy canoeing, wild rice is significant.
Recent testimony from the White Earth Band of Ojibwe claimed the only reason the 40-year standard is being challenged is to allow for the expansion of mining operations in areas where there are wild rice lakes and beds. The White Earth testimony draws attention to proposals for a polymet mine near Ely. The band claims the site is in an area well within the 1854 Treaty of the Anishinaabe and thus protected as a treaty right for the Ojibwe people.
But it's also significant that Minnesotans need to stand up and say, industry doesn't get to choose the rules under which they will be regulated.
You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at wtip.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.